long as you have breath in your lungs, Jenny, God is there for you. God is calling us to be higher than what we are right now. But make no mistake, God's brought you here today. But more than anything else, I said, here's what Parish Christian Center is. It's just a place for real folks. Let's get rid of all the politics of church. Look here, I grew up in the ministry, and if the ministry is anything, it's political. Thank you for that one. I said, if the ministry and church is anything, lots of times, Sherry, it's very political. I'm not into politics, and I'm not into standing up here and acting to you like I'm perfect. I'm going to make an admission here today. I'm probably the most imperfect person in this room. That's probably why God called me, okay? Because I'll tell it, and I'll use it to help you to tell it too. But this is a place for real people, Lindsay. We don't got to tuck our tail and come in here ashamed or anything else. If you're hurting in here today, you sit there and you let the Word of God comfort you. If you came in here all messed up today and you don't know your next move, let God sit there and direct your path. This is a place for you to get it real, number one. This is a place for you to keep it real, number two. And number three, this is a place for you to help other people to keep it real. This is a real church. We are not going to play church here. We're not going to do normal politics here. And we're not going to go three songs and this, that, and the other. See, that's all a part of political things. The Word says, now be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. And nowhere in your Bible are you going to see that God used perfect people. What you're going to see is that He used real people every time. He used real people. You want to do something for God, you quit faking and you're on your way. You want to do something for God, you keep telling yourself that you're fine just in the way that you are. You're going to get somewhere if you stop that. You keep it real with yourself and you can keep it real with God. A lot of people say, well, you got to keep it real with God first. No, you don't. You got to keep it real with you first. A lot of people like to lie to God. Look here. You got to lie to yourself before you lie to God. This morning I'm going to preach a message called It's All in a Day. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 16. We're going to start at verse 1. And there are so many hurting, struggling people battling in something today. When we were in the leadership meeting this morning, I said, folks, if you don't hear anything I say in this leadership meeting, what I want you to hear is this right here. This congregation is coming to us today. People are going to fill the church seats today of Parish Christian Center. And the one thing that I want you to do is I want you to understand when they come up in here, they're battling through something they can't even talk about. So what we're going to do with those people that God brought in here today is we're going to love them and we're going to show them who Jesus is. Nothing else. God will do the rest. I want to know why you came here today. Did you come here out of a routine or did you come here because you desperately need it? Did you come here today for one reason or the other? Did you come here because God called you today? Why are you sitting where you're sitting? The world is full of people. They don't know why they're doing what they're doing. I want you to know why. I want you to know why you're doing what you're doing. I want you to begin to do things not just out of a routine, but because God called you to do them. Because let me tell you something. If you're stuck in a routine, the second it gets hard, you're going to split. Look here. It gets hard a lot. Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. It's all in a day. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. So here are the children of Israel, and they're coming, and they're in there with Moses. God will bring you out of things that you didn't think that you could ever be brought up out of. If you're in bondage today, God has a way out for you. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And I want to tell you something. Many times you were stuck in slavery and God got you out of that. Maybe you were slave to an addiction. Maybe you still are. Maybe you were slave in a bad marriage. Maybe you were slave in a childhood where you were molested. Maybe you were a slave to pornography. Maybe you were a slave to that secret sin. And I want to tell you that by the grace of God and only the grace of God, He picked you up and He snatched you up out of that. And I want to tell you something, where we get on dangerous ground is when we start grumbling against what the living God did for us. Right now, I want to tell you that you are in one way or another, you are living an answered prayer that you prayed for. You're living an answered prayer. You may have things going wrong in your life and you're asking God, God, why? God wants you to wake up and look at what's going on and realize that, you know what, every day, when my kids get on my nerves, I say, God, in Jesus' name, why did you do this to me? He said, Kelly, you asked for those kids. You're living an answered prayer. You're living an answered prayer. Whether you can wake up and realize that or not, you're living an answered prayer. Now, you may be waiting on another answered prayer, but you better wake up and you better realize, God, give us this day our daily bread. God, don't give me tomorrow's daily bread, but God, just give me today. Many times in recovery, what do we tell them? We say, one day at a time. One day at a time. If you think that you've got to be addicted to drugs to be in recovery, you're wrong, because everybody that's breathing breath today should be in recovery. And so it says that they were grumbling against God. And here they were, stuck in slavery, being beaten and killed and all of this stuff. And God got them out of it. God sent somebody that couldn't even talk. When God called Moses, he said, God, I can't even speak. I mean, I'm a stutterer. I'm not fit for this. Look here, God ain't calling people that think that they're fit. That's what I can tell you. You don't think you're fit? Great. You on your way. Because God ain't calling the people that's equipped. God's equipping the people that says, I'll do it. That's who He's calling. So for everybody that's messed up in here and you think that you're beyond repair, I want you to shake that way of thinking off, because God's called you. I don't care what you've done. If you've robbed the Pope and killed three bank tellers, God's called you. Now, I'm not giving that a recommendation to you. Don't be going to getting the tellers now. I got to be careful what I say, because there's some folks, they're going to take everything I say literally. And I've learned that. So I have to be real careful. And it says, and the whole community was grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. Let me tell you something. When you get up in the battle, you need to take that battle, Sherry, one day at a time. One day at a time. There are times where the battle is too much to take it one day at a time. You're going to have to take it moment by moment. There are times where that battle is so hard, Tierney, you're going to have to take it second by second. God is in this to win it. God does not have a defeat in store for you, but you're going to have to take some things one step at a time, one day at a time, one moment at a time. Live in today. Live in today. Live in this moment, right here, right now. If you're sitting there thinking, what am I going to eat for lunch? That's the wrong thought. I'm just saying that because that's what I used to think when I wasn't the pastor. I'm keeping it real. When is this over? God, let Daddy be quiet. I'm ready to go eat pizza someplace. Look here, this is going to be over at 12 o'clock for all the clock watchers. And they said, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. So God took them out of slavery. He began to lead them, and then they began to grumble and complain. And Tierney, what did they want to do? They wanted to go back. If only God would have just killed us. Look here. There are some things that you're going to go through, and you're going to wish to God you was dead, because they're that hard. You feel me? How many of you have been through some real hard stuff? And you thought, I would rather be dead. Have you ever had that thought? Let's keep it real in here. Who's had that thought? Okay. That's why we're preaching this way this morning. I want to tell the person in here, you may be in this congregation, you may be watching me on Facebook, but I want to minister, and this was not in my message, but I want to tell somebody, your life matters so much. Don't ever think about ending your life. Don't ever think about taking your life. You are precious. God has a way out. If you've been contemplating that, if you've been thinking that, if you've been rehearsing how you're going to do that, I want to tell you that you matter. I want to tell you that God loves you. I want to tell you that, you know what, no storm lasts forever. The devil will get you to make a permanent decision for a temporary problem. I'm going to tell you right now, in Jesus' name, for whoever that's for, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over that person right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak to those thoughts of suicide. I tell them to go away right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for divine appointments for that person. God, let every person, God, that's feeling this way, God, let them feel who you are. Lord, let them see that it's not a permanent thing. God, it's very temporary, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And it says, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Look here, there's going to be times in your life where your battle, you're walking through the desert. You're going to have to get your desert shoes on. And you're going to have to realize you're going to walk through that desert. The Lord's not going to zap you out of that. Get your walking shoes on. Get your desert shoes on. What we know about these people here is God never let their shoes wear out, Melissa. How did he do that? He knew how long that battle was going to be. He knew how long that trip was going to be. Day by day. It's all in a day. And in verse 4, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. I'm going to go right back there. The people are to go out each day. Each day. Jennifer, he did not give them a cluster a day. He said, each day. Each day. Let's stop worrying about every other day but today. Let's live in today and let's take this day, day by day. If you're in a battle right now, day by day, day by day, somebody's asking God, how am I going to get through this? What's going to happen? How am I going to make it? Am I going to make it? I want to tell you that, yes, you're going to make it, number one. Number two, how you're going to make it. You're going to make it day by day. When a day is too long, honey, you're going to make it moment by moment. I can't preach anything to y'all before I preach it to myself. I'm in things right now, and I'm saying, God, how are we going to make it through? God's saying, Kelly, moment by moment, day by day, day by day. So here these folks are, and God's giving them instructions. And it says here, the people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. I want to tell you, God has enough for you in every day. He has enough grace. He has enough favor. He has enough provision for every single day. You don't got to take some of that grace and try to hold it for tomorrow, because the Word of God says that His mercies are new every single morning. You're not going to have to sit here and keep up some for tomorrow. God's going to give you fresh tomorrow. He's going to give you fresh for tomorrow. You need to keep everything that He's given you for today. And it says here, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Verse 5, on the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. Let me tell you something. You ain't been through a good battle till God got you out of it, and you know there is no explaining that thing other than the living God. If your mama can get you through what you're going through, you wouldn't need God. But let me tell you something. We all need God, because we get into some things and things happen in life we ain't getting out of except for God's grace. And so it says here, there's going to be some things begin to happen. And when they happen, you're going to know that that was the living God that did it. I want to tell you this morning that when you're going day by day, God's going to show up in every single day. When you're sitting there and you're wondering how you're going to make it, God's going to show up in that day, and he's going to show you how you're going to make it. You're going to take it day by day. He's got manna for you for today. He has fresh manna for you for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. God's not going to stop being who he is. And so it says, I will test them and see. Let me skip down to verse 6. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites in the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Don't grumble against God. If you've been doing that, you need to cut that out. I don't have a pretty way to say it. I'm going to say it again. If you've been grumbling against God, you need to cut that out. Because you're grumbling against the only one that's ever been so good to you. Everybody else has failed you, or they're going to fail you. Okay? God hasn't, and he won't. So don't grumble against the one thing, the one person that's never going to do that to you. When things don't go right in your life and things happen unexpectedly and life gets hairy and you're struggling, stop griping at God about it. Stop blaming him for it. God did not ordain that, but he's going to capitalize on it. He is not the author of confusion. We know who that is. But he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we know God's going to complete the thing that he started in us. And so it says, because he has heard your grumbling against him, who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. And then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. God hears you on a day-to-day basis. I've learned this. Everybody talks to themselves. Let me tell you something. You know you got a real good conversation going on when you answer yourself, too. All right? And I'm going to tell you another thing. Every human being on the planet has an inner two-year-old. What do two-year-olds do? They throw a fit. They get on the ground. They throw a tantrum. They try to gather an audience. That's what they do. And unfortunately, more than two-year-olds do this. Grown adults do this. Get out of that temper tantrum. Get in the moment, which is today, right here and now, and let God move in today. Let God move in this moment, right here, right now, because that's what he wants to do, day by day. This is a day-by-day process. And so it says God will provide what you need on a daily basis. God said, tell them to go gather this stuff each day, and at night I'm going to give them some meat. Look here. God has enough for you on a daily basis. I'm going to say that one more time. God has enough for you on a daily basis. If you're struggling in here today, look for your next opportunity to make the right decision. If you're struggling in here today, look for your next opportunity to make the right decision. God has enough for you on a daily basis. What would happen if you used what God gave you in today? So many people are so concerned about what they're not going to have for tomorrow that they totally miss out on that they have enough for that specific day. You have enough for today. Why? Because God gave it to you. There are times where you're going to be in your life and you're not going to feel like you have enough for that day. Let me tell you something. When you get in those moments of your life, you need to look again. What did we say last week? Feelings are not facts. They're not. What would happen if you used what God gave you in today and didn't consume today worrying about tomorrow? What if you didn't consume today up by worrying about every other moment but the one you're in? How much time have you wasted worrying about other time frames of your life? I'm the world's worst at that. I like to plan about planning about planning. I like to sit and wallow in past regrets. I like to beat myself up over them. I like to relive that pain because there's something about that that the devil gets off on that. You got to make a conscious decision to be free. You're not going to get free just by hoping and wishing. You really want to get free living today, living right now, living the moment, day by day. God has enough for you today. The world was spoken into existence day by day. I'm going to say that again. I want everybody to pay really close attention. God's got something for you today if you'll hear it. The world was spoken in existence, Gary, day by day. Could God have, let me ask you something, brother. Could God have spoken all of those things into existence on the first day? Gary says no. You know what I've learned? I've learned you can agree to disagree. Now, I personally think that Rocky, if God would have wanted to call all of those things into existence in one day, he could have done it in a day. God can do anything he wants to do. Do we all agree with that? Keisha, there's a reason God took his time. There's a reason God wants you to take your time. Day by day, God said on the first day, let there be light. Then the second day, he spoke something else into existence. Then the third day, he spoke something else. Then the next day, he spoke. He kept speaking things into existence day by day. On the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. In your day today, I want you to know, somewhere up in that day, God has a moment of rest for you in each day. If God himself rested, you're going to have to rest some. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. You're going to have some rest in there. What I've learned about life is one issue leads to another issue and takes us out of the present day. The best way I can explain this to you is when you're remodeling a house. How many of you have ever had the pleasure? I don't like it at all. It's very unpleasant. So one time, we were doing some remodeling in our bathroom. This was on Bryan Street, the first house I ever owned. And we redid the floors. We redid the bathtub. We redid everything. And then it got down to the cosmetic things. And I said, Lord knows us women care more about them cosmetic things than we do the actual floor we're going to be standing on every day when we get out of the tub, okay? And they said, oh, we're going to have to get some, you know, concrete things. We're going to make this floor more level. We're going to do this. I said, I don't care. I just want to pick out the toilet paper holder and the paint and all these cosmetic things. So we get down to the last thing, Dwayne, and the last thing was for me to pick out a new vent. How many of you know a good bathroom's got a vent? Okay. Y'all are awake because that was a joke. Or y'all are not awake because that was supposed to be a joke. I think Dale got it and that was it. But a good bathroom has a vent in it, okay? So I said, Jeremy, your parents are coming down. We're going to go buy a vent, and you and your dad are going to put this vent up. Big mistake. There is a reason why there ain't one hole nailed up in these walls anymore that we did. okay? Because I don't trust anybody to even hammer something in the wall. We're going to have that professionally done because I've learned that lesson. And anyhow, if anybody else has a cell phone on, that's the second time, I'm going to ask y'all to turn your cell phones on, and I'm for real. So I do that because I'm like a squirrel, and too many of those noises are going to get me way off track. Pastor needs to stay on track. So if y'all ain't checked your phone, you need to check your phone. Watch mine go off now. That's how that goes. You're driving the bus, and you're telling them kids to stop, and you're doing the same thing you're telling them to stop. That's why I don't literally drive a bus. So I said, you're going to get a vent, and you and your dad are going to put this vent in. Okay. So they get up in the attic. I didn't know they had to be in the attic. They get up in the attic. Kevin does. Steps through it. Comes through the floor. Here's what I've learned about life. One problem bleeds into another problem, which bleeds into another problem, which bleeds into another problem. I lost my pure religion on that problem. I said things I'm not even sure what they meant. And here's my father-in-law dangling his two legs from the ceiling that is no longer there. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I just gave every dime I had to fix the bathroom, and how in the world are we going to go without a ceiling? Because I ain't got the money to pay for that. One problem in life leads to another problem, which leads to another problem, which leads to another problem. My point is this right here. If you try to handle 20 million days of problems in one day, you're going to be stressed. Okay? God ain't called you to be doing that. When God gets people out of slavery, he says, okay, now just for today, you're going to get enough of what you need for today. You're going to get enough manna for today. At nighttime, you're going to get the quail. Each day, I'm going to give you enough for each day. Stop trying to consume up in today what ain't supposed to even be addressed until tomorrow. You can't operate that way or you're going to have issues. I know a lot of times in my life I've said, well, when this problem gets done, I can enjoy my life. How many of y'all have said that? That's a problem with that type of mentality. And the problem is this right here. Jennifer, when does life ever get normal? It doesn't. When do the problems ever all go away at the same time? They don't. The moment you think that you're clear of problems, you'll get more problems than what you just got rid of. Now, I'm not doom and gloom Debbie, but I am realistic Kelly. So we keep it real. You can't postpone doing the right thing or being in the right state just because you got problems. I remember when I stopped working at the clinic. I worked at a clinic for 14 years. I was in the medical field before I pastored. And I waited and waited, and I waited 2 years. This is crazy. But I waited 2 years to get my financial packet money that I cashed out when I left that place. And there was something in my head that told me I couldn't be happy and have closure and move on with my life until I got that paperwork. Look here, I was held up for 2 years. Look here. When I got that paper in the mail, when I got that check in the mail that cashed me out and let me go off and be free from that place that caused me a lot of grief, I was never more angry than when I got that in the mail after 2 years of waiting for it, after 2 years of saying, when I get that, I can be happy. Look here. If you can't be happy when hell has hit the fan, okay, you ain't going to be happy. Because if you're waiting to be happy when everything's going right, you're going to be in trouble. God's telling you today to take it day by day. If you're asking God, how am I going to make it? How am I going to this and how am I going to that? You're going to do it day by day. You're going to do it moment by moment. Next place for me is Psalms chapter 68. We're going to look at verse 19 in the King James. And it says here, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." I'm going to read it one more time. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with blessings and benefits." With benefits. "Even the God of our salvation." If you think that the one that created you doesn't have enough stuff for today for you, you're crazy. Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. When you're taking it day by day, this is one of the things that you're going to have to do. This is a must. And if you're a note taker, this is a good place for you to take a note. Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. "Teach us." Are you teachable today? Are you teachable? Does God have the right to come in and teach you? Or do you know it all? Are you a know-it-all? You're going to have to decide who you are. "Teach us to number our days aright." If you've clustered days and years in your life and you're trying to digest that, you're going to come up every time overwhelmed and stressed because God did not call you to handle years' worth of problems in one day. What does the word say? Work out your own salvation. How many of you know when you start working out, you ain't going to be as fit as you want to be? Okay. How does that happen? How do you get to where you want to be? Consistency, faithfulness. Keep doing it. Keep working at it. "Teach us to number our days aright." Are you teachable this morning? "That we may gain a heart of wisdom." How are you going to go day by day, tyranny? You're going to go with it with wisdom. How are you going to get that wisdom? Day by day, and you're going to ask God, "God, teach me how to number my days." Every single one of you, there's a season in your life. The word preaches about it. Pastors use it all the time in funerals. There's a time to tear up. There's a time to build. There's a time to this and there's a time to that. And there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Look here, I'm not being gruff with you, but your days are numbered. That baby back there, my godson, I think he's the youngest one in this room. His days are numbered. God knows when you're going to draw your last breath. All the more reason for you to pray this prayer, "Lord, teach me to number my days aright." Some people, they think that just because their mama didn't get it right till they were 40, that they got time to slip up until they're 40. Look here, Sherry, people die and they go out of this life unexpectedly. They didn't number their days right. You're not going to just wake up and know how to number your days. God's going to have to teach you how to do that. And he's going to have to teach you how to do it the right way. When you've done it, when you've said, "God, teach me how to number my days. I only have so many days. God, teach me how to use them." When he's teaching you, Brother Mike, he's going to put some wisdom up in there. You're either going to be a fool or you're going to be a wise person. And you're going to make that choice. I made notes in here, and every time I read this verse, I tell this story. And I have this little note. I've got two sticky notes, and they go with Psalms chapter 90 and verse 12. And I'll probably preach this till the day I die. Don't waste a lot of time on a mistake, even if you spent a long time making that mistake. How many of you like Forged in Fire? I like that show. They make swords. I always wonder, how do people get into this? That's a weird thing to get into to me. But, I mean, I am weird, so maybe they're normal and I'm weird. I'm not sure. So my son and I, two or three years ago, we were watching this show Carson Paul loves Forged in Fire, and they make these swords. And you got to make that sword, it's got to be right from the beginning, or you're going to have issues. That thing is going to have a real problem. And the guy, he made a beautiful sword. And they test these swords out. They got like three ways they test these swords out. Well, he was interviewing, and he was saying, well, such and such was wrong with this sword from the very get-go. And it was wrong. But I went on. In the beginning, when I knew this problem was there, I had time, Sherry, to start over. I had time to just start over and make this new sword, but I didn't. I kept on with this sword, and I tried to make it work. And he said, and here's what I learned. Don't waste a lot of time on a mistake, even if you spent a long time making it. You need to ask God, Lord, teach me how to number my days. Teach me how to do it. Teach me how to make the most of my time here. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. There were things that wanted to do you in. There were things that the devil ordained in your life to take you under. God did not allow it. What does the word say? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. You're not here on your own ability. You're here because of God's great love that he has for you. Nothing else. Verse 23. And it's talking about those compassions. It's talking about those mercies. And this is the verse. They are new every morning. The goodness of God is new every morning. The mercies of God are new every morning. That clean slate that you've been asking God for, it's there every day. It's there every day. If you messed up yesterday, stop dwelling on that. Live in today. Have that clean slate for today. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Look here, when nothing else is enough. When nothing else in your life is enough. You have those moments in your life where you feel like you're not enough and nothing's enough because you're in that bad place and you want to just weep because you feel like you're not enough. You feel like nothing's enough and you're just in a bad moment. What does it say? The Lord is my portion. When you're coming up short, when life's got you, remember, God is your portion. You don't got to conjure up how you're going to fix a mess that you're in. You got to take it day by day. And in that day, in that feeling, that by the way is not a fact, you got to get up in there in that day and you got to say, God, teach me how to number my days so that I can gain that heart of wisdom. What would happen if your next 10 decisions were spot on? Spot on. How many of you have made a cluster of bad decisions and they were spot off? We know when we do that. It's a terrible feeling. How many of you would like to hit it on the dot the next 10 times? There's nothing better like that. Look here, that only comes from wisdom. It only comes from wisdom. And it says here, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Because God is enough for you, you're going to wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Are you seeking God? Are you seeking God in your day today? Verse 26, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 9. This is my last verse. And this is telling us how we should pray. How many of you know that you should be praying every day? I'm not going to say how many of you pray every day, because look here, I don't want to be anybody be putting them on the spot, because you know what? Here's what I know. Not everybody prays every day. I get it. And if you're one of them that don't pray every day, I want to challenge you to pray every day. What is prayer? Talking to God. People want to make such a complicated thing out of prayer, Dale. Prayer is talking to God. Who better should we talk to about our problems? How many of you in some stuff you ain't sure how they're going to get fixed out? Okay, you best be talking to God about them, all right? Because if you're talking to anybody else, that ain't going to cut it. This is then how you should pray. God will never tell you to do something without telling you and showing you how to do it. Everything that God's told you, he has a verse in here where he's telling you how to do it. So this is what it says. This is then how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Look here. God's in heaven. He's with us. He's everywhere. Have you ever heard someone say, you've asked them about your problem, and they've said, well, from the outside looking in, here's what I think. Look here. God's in heaven. He's seeing. He knows what's going on. That's why when you're praying to him, you need to say, our Father, God, you're in heaven. You can see everything. Hallowed be your name. Look here. There's a name above every name. There's a name above every name. You best recognize it, because on Judgment Day, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow down. Every tongue's going to confess that he's Lord. So you best know his name before you get up there. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us this day, y'all say this day, our daily bread. God has enough bread, provision, favor, answered prayer. He has enough of that, Sherry, in this day. When we're praying, we need to say, God, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, give me in today what I need out of today. God, I'm not worried about tomorrow. God, I'm not going to focus on next week. God, you're already in next week, so I don't have to think about that. God, help me focus on today. And Father in heaven, give me today's bread. Lord, I don't want yesterday's leftovers, and God, I don't want tomorrow's supper. Lord, I want today. Give me today what was meant for today. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I want to tell you something. God has enough for you for every day. He has enough of everything for you in every day. Tomorrow, he has enough. The next day, he has enough. I was talking to my Aunt Kathy the other day, and everybody, every girl in the world needs an Aunt Kathy, I tell you that. And she was ministering to me, and she said, Kelly, just take one day at a time. You want to get yourself good and overwhelmed, you keep clustering them days up. You're going to be confused, overwhelmed, heavy-hearted. Take one day at a time, Cheryl. One day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. God, help me to do this today. God, if I fall down today, God, pick me right back up. God, start me again in today. The awesome thing about God is he can start you again in every day. Y'all stand to your feet. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for what you've done in this service. God, for every heart, Lord, that this word fell on good ground, God, I ask that you'd make that grow inside of them. God, give them hope. Lord, give them the courage to face each and every single day, knowing that you're already in that day. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do for them this week. God, for the blessings and the breakthrough and the provision and the favor, God, in this week for them. But Lord, most importantly, God, I ask you to bless them and keep them in today. Help them in today. God, the hurts that they have today, Lord, I ask that you to heal them up, God, in Jesus' name, amen.